trying to adjust the leading discussion on countermeasures just randomly. I don't know about countermeasures very much.
About classified, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, classified, and I'm not even applying for top secret clearance, so, because I had one more. But,
You took it away?
It lapsed. But, it seems some conditions, there's just two basic questions, and maybe more, but two of the basic questions are, one, do they work? And, if somebody's trying to use them, can their implementation be identified? And, assuming they work, if you can understand, if you can pick them out in terms of their implementation, then it seems to me somewhere, somehow, you ought to be able to co-vary that information out of the, results of the, the issues that I've kind of thought of that are relevant for this committee to think about research on countermeasures are logical, theoretical, taxonomic, and research standards. The logical questions have kind of an oxymoron that you immediately think of, which is, if this is such a great instrument, how can you beat it? A great instrument that bothers me at some level. It may perplex others. There's another logical problem, which is kind of an infinite regression kind of problem, which is, well, you can countermeasures, and of course that could go on. I harken back a little bit to what we heard this morning. In polygraph testing, there has to be some kind of physiological theory, it seems to me. In any kind of physiological indexing of psychological constructs, you have to have some kind of theory which provides you a basis for mapping physiological responses onto some psychological construct. And if we were to look at research on countermeasures, at least theoretically, one could argue that countermeasures are somehow going to moderate the mapping of physiological responses onto deception. And so it would be very interesting to find out, in terms of research on countermeasures, exactly how that research was conducted and how much indeed that countermeasures moderate that mapping, the kind of one-to-one correspondence that we're looking for. I think it would be also useful for us to look at the taxonomy of countermeasures. We've talked about some pharmacological effects. Are there pharmacological countermeasures that are used? How effective are they? In other words, there may be differences in the effectiveness of countermeasures in terms of moderating that correspondence physiological responses and the psychological constructs. We've heard about physical ones in some of the reading material. I think the written testimony from Hurlington today that I've kind of talked about curling toes and biting your tongue and those sorts of things, which are kind of physical, physically designed, if done at the right place in a screening exam that will obliterate the difference between control and relevant questions. And then we've talked and mentioned about what I've just labeling cognitive kinds of countermeasures that have to do with associative pairings and developing false memories and doing mental arithmetic and all those sorts of things. And finally,
taxonomy of the cognitive emotional.
Pardon me?
Emotional.
Yeah, I think I'm using cognitive more in the sense of conscious kind of activity. So it's not certainly not devoid of affect, and certainly you could think of really upsetting experiences during the control question. So I didn't mean to absolutely not. the last person to get involved. And then finally, I haven't had a lot of time to think about this, but I don't think the research standards should be any different necessarily from the research standards that we're going to discuss tomorrow that have been already brought up for just the straight method without the atomic measures. So briefly, that's kind of what I thought of. I'll just leave it there for any additional discussion, whatever.
Just one question I have, maybe. There's various places with countermeasures that aren't classified, I guess, have been described, for example, in the polygraph web page and other things. And I'm wondering if those countermeasures are based on some model of, let's say, physiology, or on research, or both. Or something else.
Sorry, I assume the question was for me.
Behind
the lie detector, we researched the subject of countermeasures from the open source literature. And we contacted a number of psychophysiologists who are mentioned in the acknowledgement for them and discussed it. And so that's our source. We did not go out and do a countermeasure study or try to infiltrate the CIA
but somewhere back in the history of this sequence, there may have been research, but you're not entirely sure.
There is research.
There's
in our bibliography, I find it.
Lie detector technique, and
we examined during this chart survey that showed the breathing patterns that are associated with deception, according to control questions that choreographers. And we described those. They can be artificially reproduced when entering the control question as a counter measure. If we read an in-ball are correct and polygraph examiners are interpreting these patterns as indicative of a physiological reaction, emotional response to that question, then I don't see how the polygraph examiner is going to distinguish that artificially produced breathing reaction from one that's induced by fear of detection or embarrassment or whatever the basis for the control question is. Perhaps there's some polygraph countermeasures study that gives that explanation, but I haven't found it. There's a countermeasure for that. That's very simple. They just put a strain gauge under the front two legs of the chair. When you press down, it's going to shift your weight in the chair, and there's a channel going.
I asked him about that, and he said that they didn't have the.
Actually, not has a clip on that.
What about this issue of differences in population? Right. How are we going to...
There's a measurement effect that hasn't been mentioned yet, but I think it might work just in incorporating algorithm thoughts in the demonstrated that expectancies don't have very subtle effects. I mean, they're not even deliberate, so to tell a teacher by the end of the year, the students are in better or worse. And it's that kind of powerful practice often in the system. If an examiner has some belief due to ethnicity or some bias or some external pressure on catching this person, or we think they're coming up, he may well get a very different kind of object to resolve. Now, that's where ethnicity and gender may play in role. One of the things we learned at the Albuquerque Exhibit was status messages, time. There is an interrogative part of the exam. So if they have the impression where it's not guilty, that kind of expectancy can lead to less pressing coordinations or satisfaction with the missions that are provided. And that's clearly enough to carry the pain to the end. That missing the world is offered to expectancy to be my first step.
No, sir, that's in the discussion tomorrow.
To try to experience some training.
There's also the issue of different physiological responses, as we saw this morning, physiological responses be able better to provide countermeasures. Some people may be more reactive. And if there are these subpopulations, it will affect any sort of validity studies that we it'll affect the validity in that it will be different in different subpopulations.
And that was where I was going with my question. I have no sense of how we gave.
Well, except I think we're talking about a main effect here.
There's an interaction with some population and
no, I understand. I understand. But I'm talking about lack of an interaction. These are countermeasures. That's different than the actual measure itself. That we, you know, John talked about in terms of the main effect. Terms of expectancies can be pointed either at the test itself or at the problem measures. I'm not sure how those things might interact, or perhaps they would, et cetera. But in terms of countermeasures, Paul's not here. In terms of countermeasures. Obviously, people who have more experience are more well trained and more well versed specifically in countermeasures.
In general, to be
dangerous. Would be a population who expects to better employ countermeasures than people who weren't. So that just brings up another problem with a lot of studies. If you're not using the right kind of population.
Yeah.
Regular,
I could identify some signature of a given personality type, say based on some kind of a dimensional scale, what would the end be that you're taking to get that?
Well,
and
I guess
the guesses have been in the hundreds, and I can tell you that the result is quite
Maybe
you could peg it on a single person, and I don't know that it's quite surprising. You can't get it on five people, but there are some striking differences.
I'm not suggesting there aren't individual differences.
I don't know. I think we all agree.
Yeah, I'm just getting, this is a second problem. We have a measurement problem, and, for example, take the construct of self-esteem. Right? There are about 80 different measures of self-esteem. Why are there 80 different measures of self-esteem?
Yeah. Because there isn't a good one.
What becomes the gold standard then for self-esteem? What is the ground truth of self-esteem?
You've got to grapple with that problem. For your thing, you've got to get that.
I think it's easier to get by religion.
Just let's end with Rich and then.
There's a question. If the outcomes of all these tests that have been carried out by the Federation is based on quality, do we have breakdowns of those results by ethnicity, gender, or other characteristics that could be endorsed in court? In other words, that would handle the analysis of the damage as well. So that thing is not collected, or there's not a handle.
Right.
Now, do we
know,
like, there's five more likely to be men or women? No, I understand. So, I mean, the answer is if you get certain results, will you be able to interpret them? And part of that.
So this goes back to our request for the data. If we had that attached to it,
but not with everyone, so not quite.
The
data that we saw.
It's not in the database because people not know how to get that becomes an issue. This panel recommends that that's something that's essential. That recommendation can be made. We can go back and retro fit all of that data back in there by pulling the case file
within the file.
In terms of your question, this is in a field I don't know, so maybe Andy, you may know. There's been a lot of concern about psychopathy. Our psychopaths able to be the long term. And I know that that's something that economists looked at. Chris Patrick has looked at it. Here's some other industry looked at it. My recollection, correct me if I'm wrong, psychopaths aren't any better than non-psychopaths. It doesn't mean it's great, but that there's no benefit. Is that the correct?
That's what we believe, yes. I think this goes to this sort of overlying issue of delivering this belief that psychopaths are so good at lying that they don't believe that they're lying. So you might see some suppression of that theory. In fact, we know that the true psychopaths can prepare the late response. Window is really a color. So we keep battling with within that subject, we got some differential responses. And how could pathology or depression or any other clinical disorder or personality disorder of any kind cause a differential response? We haven't tested a lot of moments. You're still looking at that. Well, no, that's what I need to put. I think one of the issues was looking at the demographic issue, this is more of a point than there is, when you look at the population that's totally in the federal government, especially going back, surely you're going to see a predominant majority of them are not available for us to do the study. So we don't see in the higher of recent screening study that we ended up with a high population of females. And we economically there's no way to avoid this. We talk about going into the corporations and things that test the population. Software companies, whether selling software systems or something like that. But I'm not sure how you deal with that when you look at more controlled studies where you're seeing the population so strong, sample population.
Videotapes that we gave you on the IFM presentation of Alzheimer's, I urge you to watch that. This is a question that I'm asking the scientists there. I asked the scientists in the
We were in the process of making DVDs, which we then hope to share with the entire community as it circulated. But I realized this morning that I didn't have the DVDs when I came here, so it meant that they didn't get down and brought back to me.
Just want to clarify, John said ground truth. We said ground truth. That's not true for the law. The law will say if you have fiscal impact for the life of statutes, then you have demonstrated burden not just the government, and the government has to prove ground truth. So I just want to be clear that if we were to say that they data became available, that at least at the screening level, like who got jobs at the FBI, for example, the issue here, that is systematically discriminated against blacks and women, that would be considered a significant violation and the burden of the government. And they have to prove ground truth and they want to struggle. They do that.
Okay. It is after 5. I wanted to just go back to the countermeasure point and note that we have very limited numbers of studies. We will be seeking access to classified ones if they exist through a subcommittee that has classification access. However, names of studies and anything else that people in the room can provide are especially welcome. As we go through this task, because I can tell you that in a variety of discussions individual committee members have had, the concern about that as an issue and how we're going to learn about it has been substantial. And so it will be on our agenda, and anything that people can do to assist us, we would appreciate. Tomorrow, the committee is meeting in closed session beginning at 8:30. I want to thank our guests and assure you that we will, have another open session. We'll meet a number of presentations in connection with the July meeting, and we appreciate all of the input that we've had. For committee members who are going to dinner, it's at 6:30 tonight. The restaurant is even closer than last night. For those who are not going, if you're not going, let Deborah know so that we get the reservation.
Are we going to leave at the
restaurant or the lobby? I think we should plan to meet at the restaurant, and that way we don't have to wait for people. And if people want to go out for a walk, they can show up there.
Excuse me, John and Jeff Schiffman and Emmett, could I talk to you about saving